Welcome to another edition of Vision with me, Yudalee Wickham Ashby. And today is an extremely important day in the history of Barbados. It's also a very good day to have a discussion with the Ambassador for CARICOM, Ambassador David Commission. Welcome to the program, Ambassador.
Thank you, Yudalee. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Well, I thank you very much. So let's start, as I mentioned at the top of the program, that today is an important day in the history of Barbados. It's July 26th. Tell us about the day's significance and what it represents on how we should commemorate it in Barbados.
Well, it's our day of national significance. It goes back to the 26th of July, 1937, when the oppressed working class people of Barbados rebelled and sent such a strong message about their dissatisfaction with the type of exploitative and oppressive society that they were enmeshed in, that it really set in motion many of the initiatives that have led to the relatively progressive Barbados that we enjoy today. So, you know, we cast our minds back 100 years, 1937, 100 years after the abolition of slavery. Very little had really improved for the masses of the black people of Barbados. And into that situation came this dynamic working class activist, leader, Right Excellent Clement Osborne Payne, and started holding these meetings and was on the verge of establishing a new political organization, the Barbados Progressive Working Men's Association, when, you know, the authorities struck against him and eventually deported him from Barbados. And that led to an explosion by the people at the base of the society, demonstrating that this was their leader. They were disgusted that he had been taken from them, and they were going to demonstrate what they thought about the oppressive society. So one of the things to learn from this, Yudalee, that I think is significant for the disabled, you know, there had been other leaders in Barbados before. There had been,
yes,
Samuel Jackman Prescott in the 19th century. There had been Dr. Charles Duncan O'Neill in the 1920s, for example. But these were kind of middle-class leaders. Clement Payne was an authentic working-class leader. And he seemed, because he felt the oppression of the masses, he articulated it from among them, that he seemed to have had such a dramatic impact on the people at the base of the society. And and what it says to me, Yudalee, is I know the persons from the disabled community have made the point that the disabled community must have their own leaders coming from among the community, as opposed to somebody else speaking on their behalf. And I think 1937 really sends that message, the power of leadership emerging from among the community itself, and how that leadership is of a different dimension. And, you know, we really, at a political level, we saw it in 1937. Since then, we have gone back to the kind of middle-class leadership speaking for the masses of people. But I think when we analyze 1937, we recognize that there's a certain power and resonance on leaders emerging from the disadvantaged community and speaking for and representing that community. So, you know, it's a day in which we look back at that history and we celebrate the contributions made by those great heroes. We look at the martyrdom, the people who died. We honor their sacrifice, and we rededicate ourselves to doing what we need to do in this time to make that suffering and sacrifice really mean something, you know, by taking forward our country in a positive way.
Well, I quite agree with what you have said, because it is critical that leadership of any disadvantaged or vulnerable population emerges from within. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, the disadvantages, the vulnerability, the social injustices that would need to be dealt with certainly has a different experience mm-hmm. towards it for the leadership once mm-hmm. they themselves have experienced it. Mm-hmm. And I think that drives more so the leadership to really work towards social justice and mm-hmm. equality, equity for that particular population. And this mm-hmm. is so very true for the disabled in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. Fully agreed.
Yes, this leads us right into, very nicely, into the whole political stance that CARICOM has taken as it relates to people with disabilities. They have made a commitment to work in this whole sector to help also provide that platform for leaders with disabilities, the disabled community, to mm-hmm. fit right into the society within the region. So share with us, since you've started your work with the CARICOM now at the level of ambassador for Barbados, what has taken place and what is all excited mm-hmm. for you?
Well, thank you. What I would say is, since I've been at CARICOM now for 2 years, mm-hmm. and I have not heard an awful lot in CARICOM circles about the disabled or people right. living with disabilities over that 2 year period. I like to be very frank and honest. Mm-hmm. But having said that, we can give CARICOM credit for having put a kind of theoretical structure in place, because we could go right back to the 2004 Kingston Accord, where the CARICOM ministers with responsibility for persons living with disabilities came together in Kingston, Jamaica, and came up with this beautiful declaration where they agreed to do important things, such as to develop a CARICOM model disability policy and legislation, to develop a common framework for national and regional data collection, and, you know, a host of other very practical and forward-looking things, including an agreement to develop a plan of action for persons with disabilities for adoption at CARICOM Heads of Government Summit, and to convene a meeting of CARICOM ministers with responsibility for persons with disabilities once every 2 years, for also every CARICOM country to appoint special envoys for disability issues, and of course that CARICOM itself should have this special rapporteur on disabilities. So that was as far back as 2004. They then followed up. You remember there was a Heads of Government conference in 2013 where Haiti put a request for a high-level meeting on disability issues, and that was held in Haiti in December 2013. That produced the Declaration of Petionville, again, with very good ideas, very good commitments. And I would say that since then, so this is 2013, I would say that since then, the two most impressive things that have emerged from that theoretical framework would be, number one, The project that is now ongoing between CARICOM and Cuba to develop in Guyana a center to help with the education and rehabilitation of persons with disabilities, a training center. The exact terminology is a training center for the treatment of physical disabilities to assist physically challenged children and youth. So that project is ongoing. The Guyana government has constructed the building. Cuba is going to bring all of their expertise to bear. Cuba has done a lot of work in this area. And I think the fundamental idea is that once it is established, it will actually train trainers. So it's not that you'll be sending young persons with disabilities to this center in Guyana, but the center is going to train trainers who will then farm out, you know, all over the CARICOM area and do their work in our member states. So that's one thing that is on its way, and I think that's proceeding. The other thing is the appointment of the special rapporteur on disabilities, Senator Dr. Floyd Morris of Jamaica. So, you know, but there is still so much that was promised that has not yet been done, and that we really need to turn our attention to getting done.
Right. And some of our listeners and other individuals may be thinking, okay, so what significance, what bearing does this have on me, the average citizen with a disability, or parent of a child or an adult with a disability? All these legislation and rules and regulations are not really critical, because right now I need to really be able to access services and, you know, all this in my own state, in my own country. What would you say to those individuals?
I would fully understand that sense of urgency. But the idea behind the Kingston Accord and the Declaration of Pétionville is that the CARICOM countries, our governments, have committed to constructing a society at a physical level, but also at a social level, a society of inclusion, where we're looking at all of the issues that pertain to people with disabilities, and to say, how can we ensure that people from this community are given their full civil and human rights, and that we provide for their inclusion in every way possible. So, yes, well, you may have a concern about, you know, the here and now, but the point is, and you would know, that there's a lot more to be done, and so it is important that those plans and that theoretical framework that was outlined, they really need to be fully implemented. If you are going to get all of the concrete things that you know that you need right now, so it is important that some group of activists, that we make this a front burner issue, and that we really push for it to be fully implemented. The special rapporteur, I think, is already playing an important role in terms of getting immediate concrete assistance to persons with disabilities, because he has raised his voice within the context of the COVID-19 pandemic, and he has been strongly advocating that in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, where we know that the most vulnerable persons in our society are going to be impacted most severely, he has been sounding the alarm bells, and he has been saying, look, the disabled are likely to be, not likely to be, will be that most vulnerable section. So within the context of all these response plans and programs for COVID-19, the disabled must be prioritized. He has been making that point, but he's also made a second point that I think is so forward-looking. And I think it shows, it brings home the visionary nature of the work that you representatives of the disabled have been doing. Because even before COVID-19 and all this business about working from at home, the leaders of the disabled community have been saying
yes.
to governments and society, look, you need to put an emphasis on developing communications technology to make it easier for persons with disabilities to be able to work from home mm-hmm. and to be able to be employed and to be productive citizens. Now, with COVID-19, there has been a recognition that not even necessarily looking at people with disabilities, but for the general population, that this is a direction that we have to go in. So
right.
you have really and truly been in the vanguard. In fact, you all have been ahead of the curve. But Dr. Floyd is making the case now. He's saying now that there's this recognition that we can use the communications technology to work from at home. Use this now to include and empower persons with disabilities. So I would point out those two areas where we are addressing immediate concrete needs in a very proactive way.
Mm-hmm.
But let us not get away from the fact that there is so much more that needs to be done and that has been fleshed out in those CARICOM plans.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And I also want to make the point here as you were speaking that, yes, as you pointed out earlier, the leaders must come from within the disabled community. But at the same time, we need other persons outside of the community, like yourself and others who have certain skill sets and positioning to walk alongside us and give
mm-hmm.
us not only the moral support, but also sometimes the guidance and the strengthening in how we advocate for such change. And sometimes mm-hmm. as leaders, you're unsure as to how to go step by step to reach CARICOM to get their full
mm-hmm.
attention in addressing
mm-hmm.
some of the matters. So
mm-hmm.
we need other persons to walk beside us. Because as I have pointed out over and over, what benefits persons with disabilities benefit the wider society as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we need to let the listening audience know that Dr. Floyd Morris is actually a person with disabilities.
Yes.
So
the
CARICOM Special Rapporteur on Disabilities is a person with disabilities who has really distinguished himself.
Mm-hmm.
And has risen to great heights. The other thing, though, is I take your point, but if you go back to the Declaration of Petionville, item number 16 in that declaration, and it says we propose the appointment of a CARICOM rapporteur on disability, and the creation of a network for regular consultation among representatives of the regional community working in the interests of persons with disabilities. So it is anticipated that part of the mission of the Special Rapporteur will be to play some kind of catalytic role in putting together that network of representatives right across the Caribbean community of individuals and organizations working in the interests of persons with disabilities. Now, obviously, for the Special Rapporteur to be able to do that kind of very important institution building work, he's going to need resources. And so it's going to be important that the CARICOM Secretariat provide him, or all member states, provide him with the kind of resources he is going to need to do the job that he's expected to do.
And as you spoke about that, one of the key points that we cannot shy away from as we talk about social justice and equality and looking at the rights of persons with disabilities within the region is that whole area of human rights, which sometimes seems or a bit distant and elusive in some people's minds. Explain to us, what is human rights?
Well, human rights are the rights that every person is entitled to simply by virtue of existing. You know, and some people give different foundations for it. Some people with a religious bent would even give a spiritual foundation, would go back to religious texts and so forth. Other people give a kind of natural law foundation to it. But the point is, we know that all human beings are entitled to certain fundamental rights, to life, to liberty, to health care, to proper nutrition and housing, to inclusion. The point is, any society that is really worth its salt must ensure that these accepted fundamental human rights are available to every member of the society, that each one matters and each one must matter equally. So if you are in a particularly vulnerable area, the society might need to make a special proactive effort to ensure that you are able to enjoy the human rights that other less vulnerable members of the society more easily enjoy. So I think this now has to become part of our thinking. You know, it just struck me recently when there was this thing in the news recently when Barbados put out this thing about the 12-month stay. And immediately there was a lobby group from the lesbian and gay community that immediately pounced upon it, pointing out how it was deficient in relation to their community. But we don't seem to have that kind of powerful and immediate response and consciousness about the disabled community.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was remarkable. Within about 24 hours of the Barbados policy going out, representatives of that community had already responded and pointed out how they were not included, and they were insisting that they be included, and the modification was made to the policy to provide for their inclusion.
And that is an essential point. You're making, because in several developed countries, we notice that there are some restrictions when it comes to persons with disabilities migrating to those to those countries. So even for us within the CARICOM region, we need to also pay greater attention, as you're pointing out, and be able to be responsive enough to point out to the leaders what needs to be put in place to accommodate us.
Yeah, yes, but I don't think, see, I think the problem is we haven't thought about it sufficiently. Maybe the disabled and the advocates for the disabled haven't been sufficiently in the face of society in the way that, say, the gay community, that they have been, constantly advocating for their rights. So we, those of us who understand what needs, what the disabled community is entitled to, and who understand that a society is only as good as how it treats the most vulnerable of its members, and those of us who understand that if we really want to be great nations and great societies, then we are going to be judged by how we provide for and treat and facilitate and help develop our community of persons living with disabilities. I think we simply have to do a lot more to advocate, just to get the society to more engage with these issues, to think it through properly. I know we had a discussion, and you were making the point that actually, when a society provides for persons with disabilities, it lifts up all of the standards of the society, not only standards pertaining to people with disabilities, but when you put in place access to buildings, for example, for persons with disabilities, when you put those ramps in place, you are not only lifting up standards pertaining to persons with disabilities, but you are lifting up standards pertaining to the aged. You helped me. You're lifting the entire standard.
Their babies in strollers. It's the delivery guys who have to push those huge trolleys with lots of weight. So everybody benefits, as we are saying here. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. So it comes right across the board, not just at the physical level, but at the legislative level, at the political level, at the medical level, every sphere within mm-hmm. our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think that what we have to do, Yudali, we have to use this CARICOM, this regional arena, this CARICOM arena. We have to use these commitments that our mm-hmm. governments have made, and we have to develop a very serious lobby behind them. We have to make them more visible.
Yes.
The activism around them has to be more trenchant. And I'm all for that. You know, we have a committee of CARICOM ambassadors. Virtually all of the CARICOM member states have appointed ambassadors, and we work together as a committee. And certainly, I think this is an area that we can take on. We can do a lot more to draw attention to the commitments that have been made, but that have not yet been implemented. And the point is, if implemented, I think, you know, would really do the job that we are calling for here. So it's not that our leaders haven't thought about these things. They have thought
right.
about them.
Yes.
They've put it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But as we know, this tends to be the problem. It then becomes a question of implementation. We always talk about this implementation deficit. And unless there's some very serious lobby that really gets behind this agenda and pushes it, you know, it is not going to be implemented, you know.
We definitely need that lobby, that very strong lobby, because as you pointed out from the Kingston Accord back in 2004, now 2013, mm-hmm. the Petionville Declaration,
mm-hmm.
we noticed that over the last, let's say, roughly 5 to 8 years,
mm-hmm.
most of the Caribbean countries have ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities,
mm-hmm.
which means that each CARICOM state must make adjustments to their legislation
mm-hmm.
to accommodate the convention and the various articles.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when we talk, as in the 2004 Kingston Accord, talking
mm-hmm.
about the regional framework,
mm-hmm.
for various aspects, education and legislation and so on. This will be so poignant here now that as
mm-hmm.
we look at the convention and changing legislation and creating new legislation, how do we do it at a regional level so that we are all on the same platform? So I want to say a very special thank you for coming and sharing with us today on Visions and really expound what your role is as ambassador and how it is also influencing through your discussion and dialogue the work of CARICOM in helping to promote disability awareness throughout the region. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for having me, and I look forward to working closely with Barnard and with the Council, the Barbados Council for the Disabled, in making sure we implement this CARICOM agenda.
And we look forward to that, and we will hold you to that commitment.
Please do.
Thank you. Okay. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yodali Wickham, and my special guest today, Ambassador David Commission, the ambassador to CARICOM. Remember, you can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or via STARCOM at 1-246-430-7300. You can check me as well via email, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That's visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website and looking for the podcast link for Visions. So I say thank you for listening and your favorable comments and your recommendations. So until next week, be safe.